Paul is writing this letter, and he's, of course, this passage you're familiar with. It is saying, "For this reason I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting or the things that are lacking." He tells him to ordain elders. And then he gives those qualifications. We're not going to look at the qualifications of elders tonight. It's certainly a good topic to look at, but that's not the point of tonight's sermon. But I do want us to look at what the Bible says in verse 9 of Titus chapter 1. When the Bible says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." Now, the King James uses the word gainsayers, and I realize that not every version does that. But I want us to look at this idea of a gainsayer. That's not a word that we typically use. In fact, I don't ever recall in using that word in just our everyday talking to talk about gainsayers. But what in the world is a gainsayer? When the Bible says that an elder, or those that contradict, your version renders it that way, when it says that they would be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, which means to admonish, to build up, to encourage, and to convince the gainsayer, or those that oppose, those that contradict. What on earth is he talking about by that? I want us to think about that thought. You know, the Bible says some things about gainsayers. And that's not anything, that's not a concept, that's not something that describes individuals confined to Bible times. But as we'll look in the lesson tonight, there are individuals who are gainsayers today. And I would suggest to you that to be able to exhort and be able to convince those that contradict or oppose or gainsay is not really something that is just limited to an eldership. We each need to strive, as we'll look in the lesson tonight, to be prepared and to be able to be able and prepared to teach and to be able to deal when someone speaks against or opposes the truth. You know, sometimes we, and maybe we're all guilty of doing this from time to time, but maybe sometimes we say, "Well, you know what, I'm never going to occupy the role of an elder. And so, you know, I don't really have to worry about studying as much as I would if I was going to be an elder. Or, you know, I'll never occupy the role of a deacon, and therefore I really don't need to spend as much time in preparation to that end. Or I'll never preach publicly, or, you know, I'm never going to teach a Bible class." I think we need to be careful with that mindset, don't we? Because just because I may not, per se, be in a position of an elder or a deacon or a Bible class teacher, doesn't mean that I need to slack off it or to kind of stray away from being prepared to do some of the things that we ought to be doing. And so my point about that is that we all have work that we can do. And you're aware of that, and I'm aware of that. And just because we're not an elder, deacon, Bible class teacher, or preacher, whatever the case may be, doesn't mean that we don't need to give time to a study of God's Word, to investigate what the Bible says. Because we're going to be confronted with individuals who oppose the truth, who are opposed to what the Bible says. And at the end of the day, do we want to be prepared as an individual to be able to effectively deal with that? Not just to win a point. You know, it's about everybody likes to win. But it's not about winning the point. It's not about me in the argument, in the gist. It's about that individual. It's about their soul. It's about the souls of those people who are listening to that, whatever the case may be. Because we know that there is, as I said in the sermon this morning, a judgment day to come. But what does the Bible say about a gainsayer? And what is a gainsayer, or those that oppose or contradict? Well, if you were to look that up, it just simply means to refute or to refuse. To refute or to refuse. But there's something else that's interesting about that word to me. It looks like in the English that it's a noun, you know, a gainsayer. He's calling someone a gainsayer, and therefore it's describing that person. Well, it is describing, but it's a verb of action. It's something that individual is doing, but not in a positive light. They're busy. They're busy about doing something, but not in a positive way. Not an effort for good. And so actually, when you look that word up, it comes from a Greek word that is a verb that means that they are speaking against. In the Greek, the word, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I have to rely on helps. But in the Greek, the word lego means to say or to speak. But if you put a particle in front of it, ante, it looks like it's spelled anti, like antichrist. But anti-lego means that they are not speaking in favor of, but in opposition to something. And that's the idea that's behind that. The gainsayers, individuals who are opposing themselves, they're opposing the truth. They are contradicting, as the version we heard read just a moment ago, contradicting the ways of righteousness. And that's the idea that's behind that word. Not a noun, but rather a verb of action. This is something that these individuals are doing. And it's a word that is found 9 times in the New Testament. I can't speak to what version you use because I don't know what version you are. But in the King James Version, you can further do a comparative study and see how it's rendered in other versions. I'd encourage you to do that. But it's used in 9 verses, the original word, not the English word gainsay, but the original anti-lego Greek word that gainsay was translated from is used 9 times in the New Testament. It's found in Luke 2, verse 34, and it's rendered spoken against. And see the idea again that they were speaking against those things. In Luke 20, verse 27, they were denying. And there it is again. They are not for it. They were denying those things. John 19:20 speaketh against. Acts 13:45 spake against. And then it's also used in that verse again, but it's rendered contradicting in that passage. Acts 28:19 spake against. Acts 28:22 spoken against. Romans 10:21 gain saying. Remember that? All day long I've stretched forth my hand to a gain saying people. People that were opposed to that, speaking against those things. And in Titus 1:9 in our scripture reading, and then in Titus chapter 2, verse 9, gain saying. I looked up what that particle that comes before that word actually is, and it was stated that it is used to mean an opposite. Instead or because of, rarely in addition to, and it's often used in composition to denote a contrast. So again, instead of speaking favorably and righteously about a particular way, they were speaking, but they were doing so against the truth. But I want you to think about a few examples in the Bible of individuals who spoke against. You could go to the Old Testament and look at some examples of individuals who really spoke against the ways of righteousness. God's people were opposed to doing the Lord's work. I think about Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, those Old Testament restoration books when God allowed His people after 70 years of captivity to go back to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the temple. They made all of those reforms and the worship and the sacrifices. And then when Nehemiah came back, they began to build the wall. You remember the opposition to the building of the wall that's recorded in the book of Nehemiah? I mean, the opposition was so strong that the Bible says that in one hand they labored with a tool and in the other hand they carried a weapon. The Bible says they didn't even take off their clothes except every man took them off for washing. They were busy, but there's a phrase that says the people had a mind ready to work. But then you had Sanballat and all these other ones that just opposed the work. Why are you doing this? You don't have the authority to build this wall. And so even in the Old Testament, God's people had opposition. And you had people who were blaspheming. People who are speaking against the ways of righteousness. But in the New Testament, you have examples of well. And an example that comes to my mind is a man by the name of Elymas that's found in Acts the 13th chapter. And I love this event as the Apostle Paul and Barnabas in this chapter was set apart, separated, to do the work that they were called to do, Acts 13, verse 2. And the Bible says that they came to a certain place called Cyprus, Paphos, verse 6. And they found a sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. And so here's an example of a man who desired to hear the words of truth. Now, Paul and Barnabas was going to teach him the truth. But notice what Elymas did. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Well, the word gainsay is not found in that passage. But I suggest to you that the principle is, here was a man who was opposed to the ways of righteousness. Paul called him out for that. And he said, will you not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? I like that example. As I've been trying to teach the teenagers in our Sunday morning class, that any lesson learned is only as good as the application of it. You can spend the time learning the lesson. You can spend your time just knowing the text. But if you don't know the application of it, you've wasted your time. Because we've got to ask, how does that apply to me? Well, how does that story apply to us? I'm not Paul. I'm not Barnabas. Neither are you. I'm not going on these missionary journeys to Cyprus and Paphos and other places. But how does that apply to us? What can we learn from that? One thing we can take away from that is there are going to be individuals who have their mind made up that they are opposed to the words of righteousness, the truth, and they don't want it any other way. And not only are they opposed to it, they don't want anybody else to know the truth. Can that still happen today? In our time? 2,000 years after this is recorded about? Absolutely. That individuals are still gainsayers today, contradicting the ways of truth. I like that example. But here's another one. In 3 John chapter 1, you read about a man by the name of Diotrephes. Verse 9, the Bible says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. Now listen to the last part of this. And forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. He didn't want any part of it. He didn't want anyone else. He was opposed to those things, and he even went as far as to prate against them with malicious words. Have you ever had that done to you? I'm sure that along life's way, you've had individuals speak evil of you. Now, how we respond to that is another sermon in and of itself. The Lord said to rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you. Say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. In Matthew 5. I'm sure that we've had that happen. And I've had individuals talk to me who were discouraged because they have had individuals who have just tried to smear their name, ruin their reputation, and say all manner of things against them. That's going to happen from time to time. And the harder that we try, the harder that the devil is at work. Mark it down. Take it to the bank and cash it. He'll be on our heels, trying to divert our attention. There are going to be individuals opposed to the ways of righteousness. And they don't want any part of it, and they don't want anybody else to have any part of it as well. But you don't jump on that bandwagon, and you keep your eyes on the prize and press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I think about Saul in Acts 26. Saul was converted in Acts the 9th chapter, but then later, he writes about his conversion. He writes about his former life and the things that he did. And if anybody ever contradicted the right ways of righteousness, if anybody ever gainsaid the things and the ways of truth, Saul serves as a great example of that. Paul said in Acts 26:10, "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many other saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities." And he goes on talking about this is why he's even going to Damascus. I'm thankful that God saw fit in the book of books to put examples like Saul and all these others in there for us. Now, it's not that Saul did so much worse things than what we do. We understand there's no category of sin. Sin is sin. But that serves as an example that even this man, who compelled God's people to blaspheme, when they were put to death, he consented to that. He was even present at the stoning of Stephen. They laid their clothes down at Saul's feet. If God's grace can cover the things that he did, what can I learn from that? Let's not say that I'm any better off than Saul. But the point being that God could save and still use Saul of Tarsus in service to him. And I think about David. We talked about this in our Bible classes. A man who committed adultery, looked at Bathsheba, lusted after, had her husband killed. That man's blood was on his hands. And yet when it was pointed out to him, though he already knew it, but it was pointed out to him, and he repented of that. He poured his heart out to God in the book of Psalms, and he could still at the end of the day be referred to as a sweet psalmist of Israel and a man who is after God's own heart. What does that teach us? Yes, he did wrong. Saul was opposed to those things. But let that serve as a lesson to each and every one of us. Now think about the old devil. Going back to the book of Genesis, I mentioned this to you in the sermon this morning. I've got a sermon, I think I preached it here. The devil said, then come, or God said, then come along the devil. God said, don't do this. This will happen if you do. And then the devil came along, this will not happen. You're not going to die. He's been opposed to the ways of righteousness from the beginning, and he still is. Walking about as a roaring lion, what's he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. And he's not our friend. The Bible says he is our adversary, our enemy. Not our friend, not our companion, not someone who's looking out for our best interest. And he can make sin look appealing to the eye and the lust of the flesh. But in the end, it will do to us what it did to them. And that separates us from God. And I think about the example of him. And I think about those who had hard hearts and disbelieved that the Bible talks about in the book of Acts chapter 19. Notice what the Bible says about them in Acts 19:9. Paul preaching to these individuals in verse 9, "But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. That's what we're talking about, gainsayers, those that contradict and oppose. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. They spake evil of that way. And I'm reminded of people today who speak evil of the ways of righteousness. There are people today who will speak against God's people. They'll speak evil of you. We talked about that. They'll speak evil of the Lord's church. They'll speak evil of the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. They'll speak evil of God. But I also want us to think about the fact that the Bible talks about the fact that there are going to be individuals who did that in the Bible and individuals who will continue to do that. As long as we live, there will be individuals who oppose the ways of truth. Let's look at some of those, like in Acts chapter 20. We'll begin our text in Titus 1 when Paul was writing to Titus about ordaining elders in every city. In Acts chapter 20, we read about Paul who called to himself this group of elders. Now think about why it was important that elders met that qualification and light of what Paul is getting ready to tell them. When he says in Acts 20, begin with verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. Now that was their duty, their obligation to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Why should they do that? Why should they be concerned about it? Why should an elder be concerned about meeting that one of those qualifications in Titus chapter 1? To be able to be prepared to do that, ready to do that. Well, notice what he says, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in, not sparing the flock, entering among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Was that important for them to know that? Paul didn't say, I think this is going to happen. Perhaps this will happen. But Paul said, for I know this. When I'm gone, this is what's going to happen. I've labored with you for 3 years, and I've ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. You be on guard. Watch out for yourselves and for the flock. Well, over in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, begin with verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. Now, remember, when you see a beginning of a passage like that, go back and read the first chapter. But, he's getting ready still to continue the thought. Usually, but it conveys a contrast. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth, remember what a gainsayer is, someone speaks against, opposes, contradicts, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment held a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And over in chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, knowing this first, that there shall come the last day scoffers. That word comes from a Greek word that means a derider. A derider. Someone, again, who is speaking, a derider or a false teacher. Walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Are there not people today who say, well, you people believe that there's a man named Jesus who rose from the dead and went to heaven? Things still continue as they were. Where's the promise of His coming? You believe He's returning? It hadn't come yet. There's no God. Where's the evidence for God? More evidence to believe in God than there is to not believe in God. Scoffers, deriders, false teachers, gainsayers. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, Paul writing to Timothy about doing the work of an evangelist and so forth. And he says in 1 Timothy 4, begin with verse 1, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidden to marry, and commanded to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Then if you drop down to verse 6, he says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Don't let people forget about it. That's what he's telling Timothy. You may have taught it once, but remind them. We all need to be reminded of things from time to time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 again, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And he's telling them that, and that was in the first century, folks. And here we are in the 21st century, and there still are people today, and will be people, who will turn away their ears from the truth. But I want us to think about the importance, real briefly, about being prepared. About being prepared to talk to people. And listen, we're not going to have in our minds, and I'm not saying we can't get the answer, but hear me when I say this, there are going to be times when individuals ask you questions or they present something to you that maybe you've never dealt with before. And that happens to me a lot. And I'll tell you, when I'm over at the prison, I'm thankful for that opportunity. Sometimes there are questions that just come out of left field that has nothing to do whatsoever with what we've been talking about, but that's okay. And there's times that I'll tell them, I'm not sure about that. You hold that thought. It's a good question, and we'll get back to it. And you may have to do the same thing. But my point about it is, we know that there's going to be individuals that oppose the truth. We know that there are individuals who are going to oppose others obeying the truth. Well, how do we deal with that? I suggest to you that the greatest thing that we can do is to be people of the book. Be people of the book. Know what this book says. Are we going to know everything? No. Are we going to have to sometimes just say, I'll get back with you, I'll dig? Yes. But we need to be people like you read about the book of Nehemiah. When they brought the book of the law, the people stood up, and from the morning until the end, they read the book. In fact, in one place it says, from the morning until the stars appeared in the night. They gave their attention. Now, did they always obey those things? No. But they were interested in knowing what the book said. This is our book. And we need to know what it says. We need to give our attention to it. It doesn't matter if you're not an elder, if you're not a deacon, if you're not a preacher or a Bible class teacher. You're going to have people that oppose the truth. And you're going to have people also, lest that discourages you, you're going to have people too that you'll run into that have an honest motive and an honest heart who will gladly listen to what you say. Take them to the Lord. Let them see Jesus and teach them. Be people of the book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night, Psalm 1:1-2. We need to do that, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. And the last point before we close is this. What's the point in all of it? What's the point? One point is that this life is temporary. And we know that. We know that the Bible says in James 4:14 that life is short. We know that our life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. And the point is that even though there may be gainsayers, even though there may be people that are speaking against what we are trying to endeavor to do at this local body, we still need to continue to do God's work. And I commend you for that, that you want to be busy doing God's work, that you're interested in truth, that you're interested in loving one another and loving His Word and loving others, and that you want the church to grow. I know that you do. It's evident that you want that. And you're to be commended for that. It doesn't matter how many people oppose what you're doing here, if God is pleased, then we'll be just fine. If we'll please God, God will just be fine, and we'll or be pleased rather, and we'll be fine, and heaven will be our home when life is over. Maybe you're here this evening, you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not do that? We extended the invitation this morning, and God has been merciful to you and given you another opportunity this side of eternity to obey Him. You've heard His Word. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Willing to repent of your wrongdoing and begin to do that which is right, to turn away from sin and begin to do what God would have you to do? You're willing to stand before those present this evening and confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins? Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You have that opportunity. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away, turned your back on the Lord, you're not living right. Why not repent of those things? Thank God for the opportunity that He's blessed you with, that you can make correction in your life and confess those things to Him and ask Him for His forgiveness and keep on going all the days of your life in service to God, that heaven will be your home. We bid you to do that as together we stand and sing.